Our next speaker is Brian Levine. Brian's an MS candidate with Dr. White at Louisiana State University, and he's going to discuss impacts of long-term oiling from the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill on salt marsh soil denitrification.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Levine. I'm in the Wetland and Aquatic Biogeochemistry Lab at Louisiana State University, and I'll be presenting my research on the impact of the long-term presence of oil from the Deepwater Horizon spill on the ability of salt marshes to perform denitrification. So first, I'll present the problem of excess nitrate in the Gulf of Mexico and go on to explain the process of denitrification and its value as an ecological service. Then I'll describe the research I'm doing and the impacts of the oil on salt marsh denitrification. I'll conclude with a discussion of the results and the implications of the research. So this is a map of the Mississippi Rivershed. It covers about 41% of the continental United States. Lots of this land is heavily used for agriculture, where nitrate, NO3, is applied to the agricultural fields as a fertilizer. This nitrate is washed off and run off into the Mississippi River. Another source of nitrate into the Mississippi River is effluent from wastewater treatment plants. And eventually, the Mississippi River discharges into the Gulf of Mexico. The nitrate is a source of excess bioavailable nitrogen in the Gulf of Mexico, which drives a eutrophication process and causes a hypoxic, low oxygen dead zone each summer. This area can grow to the size of about the state of Connecticut. This low oxygen area disrupts the aquatic ecosystem, which supports the economically important fishing industry in the Gulf of Mexico. So this is a cartoon explaining the denitrification process that occurs in the Gulf of Mexico. So nitrate enters the waters of the Gulf of Mexico, and during storms and high tides, the water is washed onto the salt marshes where the nitrate diffuses through the soil. Soil microbes utilize the nitrate in the anaerobic layer for respiration and convert the nitrate into nitrous oxide and nitrogen gas. These gases are released into the atmosphere, and the ecological service of water quality improvement is performed by removing the bioavailable nitrogen and putting it into the atmosphere. Most people in this room have heard of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. It occurred on April 20th, 2010. 751 million liters of oil were released into the Gulf of Mexico over an 89-day period, and consequently oiled about 1,800 kilometers of shoreline in the Gulf Coast. The areas in blue on this map are areas where no oil was found on the shore, while the areas in red are heavily oiled areas. As you can see, lots of the heavily oiled areas are in Louisiana, and the stars where the Deepwater Horizon spill occurred. This is a map zoomed in on my research area in Barataria Bay, Louisiana, which is northwest of the Birdfoot Delta. My heavily oiled site was deemed heavily oiled by the Shoreline Cleanup Assessment Technique Program. It's found in Bay Jimmy, and about six and a half kilometers away in Wilkinson Bay is my control site where the SCAT team deemed it unoiled. So this is a picture of me collecting my core at my oiled site. As you can see, there's really not obvious evidence of the presence of oil. However, if you take a shovel, you will find this layer of buried oil. That's been there since the Deepwater Horizon spill occurred. It's been there for about 5 years. This layer is buried beneath the soil due to soil accretion. Little is known about how this presence of oil that's been there for 5 years is impacting the soil functions in coastal wetlands. This is a picture from where I took a soil core. This area outlined in yellow, as you can see, there's a pretty obvious layer of oil buried. So the first goal of my experiment was to determine if this long-term presence of oil still has a toxic effect on the denitrifying soil microbes. To do this, I needed to measure the maximum potential denitrification that's occurring and compared the samples with oil to non-oiled samples. Then I wanted to investigate the impact of the buried oil on nitrate reduction rates under field conditions. To do this, I used intact cores and determined the aerial nitrate reduction rates under environmentally relevant conditions. Then I investigated the potential denitrification rates with depth from the intact cores. My data analysis used an ANOVA single factor, and the significant differences that I reference had a p-value of less than 0.05. So the methods for establishing the maximum denitrification rates involved using 4 oiled and 4 unoiled cores. I extruded the top 10 centimeters from each core and homogenized these separately. I created a slurry and shook these under an anaerobic headspace. In these vials, I added non-limiting nutrients of glucose and nitrate. In the shaking process, ensures there is not a diffusion limitation and ensures that there's maximum interaction between the microbes and the nutrients and the oil if present. Within these vials, I set an acetylene block, which prevents the nitrous oxide from converting into nitrogen gas because nitrogen gas is a difficult gas to measure. So with the nitrous oxide gas measurements, or samples, I measured these on a gas chromatograph with an electron capture detector. This is a picture of my nitrate reduction study on the intact cores. Once again, I collected 4 oiled and 4 unoiled cores. I also collected water from my site. I filtered it and added it to the headspace in these cores and brought this water to a concentration of 2 milligrams per liter of nitrate, which is an environmentally relevant condition for the Gulf of Mexico. I kept the cores in the dark to prevent photosynthesis from occurring. Photosynthesis could drive a nitrate reduction process, and I wanted to measure the nitrate reduction as a result of soil microbe activity. I took 10 water samples over 10 days, and analyze the nitrate reduction rates by colorimetric analysis. My third experiment involved taking the cores from the last study and separating these into 5-centimeter sections and ran the same maximum potential denitrification experiment on these 5-centimeter sections. I took 4 gas samples over a 24-hour period and ran these samples on the gas chromatograph again. The results from the first experiment show a significant difference between the oiled and the unoiled samples. The oiled samples had a suppressed denitrification rate of about 40% lower than the unoiled controls. The aerial nitrate reduction study showed what some might think is counterintuitive, a higher nitrate reduction rate in the oiled cores compared to the unoiled cores. In a later slide, I'll explain how this can occur. In the 5-centimeter section study, I found a significant difference in the top 2 layers, the 0 to 5 and 5 to 10 centimeter samples, and no significant difference in the bottom section. So the results of the potential denitrification studies show that where there is oil present in the soils, the denitrification rates are suppressed. This we can understand this as a toxic effect of the oil on the soil denitrifiers. The intact core study shows that denitrification or nitrate reduction is still able to occur in the soils above and below the layer of buried oil that's been there for 5 years. The increase in the nitrate reduction could be attributed to there being less oxygen in the soil column. Remember, denitrification is an anaerobic process, so where there's less oxygen in the soil column, denitrification can increase. And oil has a tendency to fill pore spaces and not allow oxygen to diffuse through the soil. So in conclusion, this is the only known study to document the lasting presence of the buried oil and its impact on wetland functions in the on the Louisiana coast. The study found that the oil that's been buried for 5 years from the Deepwater Horizon spill is still toxic to denitrifying soil microbes. However, the aerial nitrate reduction study suggests that the presence of oil may not have a significant impact on the ability of salt marshes to perform denitrification. However, just because the denitrification right now may not be impacted, it doesn't mean that in the future the oil will not create issues. This is because the salt marshes of Louisiana have some of the highest erosion rates in the country. When this occurs, oil may become exhumed and rebroadcasted onto the salt marsh. Then when soil accretion occurs, the oil is smeared throughout the soil column. And remember, the results showed that where there is oil in the column, denitrification rates are suppressed. Also, the oil may become resuspended in the water column and have negative impacts on aquatic organisms. No dolphins were harmed in the making of this slide.